There was a very overweight man who decided it was time for him to lose some weight. So he made a lot of lifestyle changes, and even one of those lifestyle changes was changing the route that he drove to work so he wouldn't drive by his favorite bakery. But then one day, he arrived at his office, and he had this beautiful sugar-coated coffee cake, and his coworkers kind of wondered what was up because they knew he was trying to make some changes. And he said, "Well, what could I do? This is a really special cake." This morning, out of force of habit, I drove by the bakery, and I thought, this was no accident. So I prayed, "Lord, if you really want me to have one of those delicious coffee cakes, let me find a parking place right in front of the bakery." And there it was, after the night time, around the block. Of course, we know the power of temptation is very, very strong. We all face temptation in our lives. We hear about that original temptation of our first parents, of the man and the woman in the garden, of Adam and Eve, where God had given them everything. They walked in friendship with him. They enjoyed everything, all delights possible, and they knew God face to face. Yet the serpent, or the devil, tempted them to think that God was holding back, and got them to think that, yes, as he said, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall be like gods. Yet God had made them in his image and his likeness in the first place. So the devil, the serpent, was distorting the truth of who they were and what their relationship to God was. God had already made them free and allowed them to be in such great friendship with him. Yet it was a lack of trust that led them to that first sin, and that led to their disobedience, not trusting that God truly had their best interests in mind. So the first Adam was disobedient, and now as we move to the gospel, Jesus often is called the new Adam. So Jesus, shortly after he was baptized, that's when he had wandered into the desert that we hear today and fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. And now he was tempted by the devil. And we see that he was tempted to satisfy his immediate hunger and that need for that simple human pleasure. Then he was tempted by the devil to throw himself down and to kind of try to control God instead of really trusting what God was asking of him. And then the final temptation to power and glory was to worship him, and then he would be in charge of all the kingdoms of the earth. The devil was trying to divert him away from that path that he had to travel of human suffering to bring about God's kingdom, to bring about that ultimate victory over the devil. Jesus, of course, being God and man, he could have used his divine power to overcome the devil, but instead, he fought him with his humanity. In his humanity, with his humility, completely trusting in the plan of the Father, completely trusting that the Father would provide, not only that day, but all the way as he went to the cross. It was that trust that overcame the disobedience of Adam through the new obedience of the new Adam through Jesus and going all the way to the cross. Of course, we too are called to follow that example of Jesus. We know that, yes, of course, he, through his suffering, he was tempted. The book of Hebrews tells us, because of what he suffered, he was tested, and he is therefore able to help those who are being tested. So Jesus invites us to draw into a deeper relationship with him. As we enter more fully into Lent, and actually through our daily lives, even outside of Lent, we are invited to go into the desert with Jesus, to take that time away from our normal, busy, noisy lives where we have so many distractions and so many things coming at us, and instead to take that time in prayer and silence with him. To take that time so we can hear his voice instead of the voice of the tempter saying that we are not worthy of God's love, or that we can never conquer that sin. You're going to fail again and again. You can't do it. All those lies that we hear of the devil that constantly badger us But instead, we need to be able to hear Jesus' words, Jesus' great words of love to us, Jesus' great words of peace to us, Jesus' great assurance of his love and his presence with us at each moment. And when we spend that time with him, then our trust in him and in the Father increases. We begin to see the ways that God is working in our lives and providing for us, even in our times of temptation, difficulty, and suffering. And then as well, of course, through our sacrifice, that's another way that we unite ourselves to Jesus, that we unite ourselves to his sufferings and his trials, and then he strengthens us because of his grace and his help in those moments as well. Yes, Jesus invites us to draw closer to him, to realize his love, and to grow in our trust and realization of the Father's great love for us. And every time that we come to celebrate the Eucharist here, we're reminded of the Father's love for us and giving us his Son, Jesus, becoming one of us, and then going all the way to the cross, uniting his life to ours. And here we unite our lives to him through our sacrifices so that we can triumph through him and triumph over all temptations.